Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. It is your Sports Bros. I am Isaac.
Sada.
And Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
Oh, dude.
Look at him. And then we've got Schultzy in on the ones and twos.
Hey, guys.
Because Buck has left us. He has quit.
That son of a B.
He's off in the land of TV now.
Doing TV things with Adam Bjornsson, doing God knows what.
So we appreciate Schultzy filling in, particularly while his team is on a playoff run here.
Schultzy, you're on a run here now, Mariner gear every day.
Yeah.
will you wear Mariner gear every day during this playoff run?
Oh, hands down.
Hands down?
Like, Friday I would usually, if it's not a playoff season or weekend going into the Ducks weekend, I'd wear Ducks gear, but no, it's all Mariners, and then I'll probably, frankly,
yeah,
I'll wear Ducks, like, on Saturday for the postgame show.
Yeah!
No,
he's
but
a
it's
sports
all Mariners,
guy, man.
Babe.
The commitment that Schultzy has, it's...
Sports guy.
Dude, I'm jealous.
I appreciate you.
And the fact that you have that much gear...
Yeah, how many pieces of Mariners gear do you own?
No, I think I said this yesterday, and this was not a joke, that I could wear Mariners t-shirts or shirts or whatever's for 30 days straight without doubling up. I've got all kinds of jerseys.
God, that is shocking.
Pretty sure I've got every, because Nike kind of sucked for a couple of years, but they upped the gear game this year. So, and I don't buy this full price, by the way. 25-30% off coupons. I wait until I get my hands on that. And then
I just got
every piece of player apparel that I could
find. I like that he had to throw that out. Hey, just so you know.
No.
Not buying this headband full price, damn it.
Where do you get 25-30% off coupons?
So, MLB.com.
Do I want to know this?
Yeah, that's fine. The shop just offers up coupons a lot, and you just got to wait until they give you the opportunity.
Get those coupons, baby.
Yeah, for 25% off. And then my dad's flex plan gets us 20% off in the season, the tickets to the store. So, yeah.
I did not want to know any of that.
No. But now you're aware of the savings.
Yeah. Sorry. All right.
Look, Schultzy can't afford to buy that much Mariner gear. At that point, it's basically getting it for free.
No.
God bless America.
That would be my dream.
Is it possible that you'd be almost retired by now if you didn't buy one piece of Mariner gear?
I mean, I'd probably have $50,000 sitting in a 401k or something.
I'm trying to think of, like, I think maybe I have three, possibly four pieces of team-related gear, and it would be Mets. I think I have probably, like, four Mets things. I think that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
How many, like, Royals things do you have, Rob? Are you?
I have two Royals hats.
Yeah.
I have two Padres hats. I have a Padres pullover and a Jayhawks shirt.
Yeah. Schultzy, I think that's more of, I don't know.
That's all I have.
Yeah, I don't.
I think.
So is this, am I the one looking bad here?
You don't look bad at all,
I'm
brother.
Not great. We love you. And by the way, somebody texted in and I second this. Schultzy takes a lot of crap sometimes, but quite frankly, I appreciate Schultzy. And you know what? We do too. We love you, Schultzy.
Yes.
Let me guys just.
I love the fact that you can go a month straight and not have to dump up on any Mariners.
Well, A, we all know what we like in life. I love the Mariners.
That's
and
right.
B, I'm in a radio studio. I want to be comfortable.
Someone said this segment is making me sad.
Why?
Because I wear Mariner gear and nothing else. But as you've said, Rob, you've seen me out on the town. I look all right. Like I.
Oh, he's hot.
Yeah, I can dress up to the nines. It's just in a studio like this.
He's got his Travis Matthew. Don't worry about it. Spruce that thing up. Put that on and go flex on some bitches. Let's go.
All right, coming up in the club. Yes, you will soon be able to buy Ozempic at Costco.
Is
I'm not kidding.
Is anyone not on Ozempic right now?
I'm not.
My the BTJ has got a group of friends that all like did it together. It's like a group thing. Like, it's all get together. I'm like, do you really need it? I don't know, but we're taking it anyways.
But up next, okay, since we put it off and we've screwed the pooch again on another segment here.
We have? Oh, damn.
We have. Let's get to Oregon, Indiana.
Oh, yeah. We have another top 10 matchup, which apparently no one cares about because the Penn State one was the greatest buildup of all time. And now we're like, it's fine.
Well, it is Indiana. But let's talk about it. ESPN Game Day is coming to Eugene. Who will be the guest picker?
I think they've gone through. Like, it's been here enough times. I think they're out of guest pickers.
I can think of one. Hello.
You talking about Schultz?
No.
Unfortunately. That'd be awesome, but no.
I'm talking about our boy.
What? Oh, yeah. Joey's never guest picked, has he?
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
He was very cryptic on text last week.
Yeah, there was some weird. He was being all strange.
I asked him today, and he said he wasn't. But then
that sounds
that's
like,
throwing me off.
Exactly.
The set.
He wouldn't tell you if he was. That's right. It. I'm starting the rumor. Joey's going to be the guest picker.
All right, we'll get to Oregon, Indiana coming up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oregon, Indiana. It's about time we talked about that.
Yeah.
Pretty good little matchup.
Absolutely.
Pretty good little matchup.
Yeah. Indiana is going to, I think, give them more offensive challenges than they're going to be better coached than Penn State. I just don't know if Penn State, well, I do know. They are not as over, they don't have the overall talent that Penn State and Oregon have, although there are NFL players on both sides of that ball, and they're extremely well coached. They have a much better, scheme than Penn State does. And so I think that Indiana is going to give them a game, but in such a short sample we have, because we only had last year to go off of and then a handful of games this year, the only time Indiana has struggled is when teams can bully them. Because again, especially in the trenches, they're not as big and physical as some of the elite teams. I mean, they're Indiana. And so if you want one area where if you're a Duck fan and you're going to feel good about this, it's that. It's Iowa was able to do this to them. Notre Dame was able to do it. And I mean, they only lost to last year to Ohio State and to Notre Dame. And both of those were teams that were like way too athletic for them. And this year, the only team that's really pressed them was Iowa. And Iowa wasn't able to do anything offensively against them. Indiana actually runs really, really good complex defensive schemes. But Iowa's front was able to give Indiana a lot of problems, and I think they held them to 20 points, especially like the right side of the Indiana line. Going back and looking at that game, they really struggled. Like the interior of Indiana's offensive line, their two guards against Iowa were a massive, massive problem. So you can start looking at some of these kind of matchups. And
this is why I don't think it's that. This is a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Because Indiana is good, and they should be given their flowers. They've been, you know, last year what Cignetti did was amazing, got them to the playoff, and they're good again this year. They beat a top 10 team 63-10.
Yes.
And that should we should not overlook Indiana.
Mm.
But I think you've just touched on why. I just feel like Duck fans probably feeling okay here, because Indiana has played, under Cignetti, they've played three ranked teams, and they are 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to Ohio State by 23 points, and they lost to Notre Dame by 10 points. Now, Illinois was the other ranked team, but I don't think we should compare the talent at Oregon to the likes of Illinois. Yeah. Rather, we should compare the talent of Oregon to the likes of Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And I think that's ultimately why people in the Northwest are probably feeling pretty good. I like Oregon. I think it's close early, but I feel like it might even be double digits late. I just think they have better players.
They do. They do have better players, but, you know, don't sleep on, because it's Indiana, I think we're, you know, there's this idea that, because Cignetti comes in there and he brought a lot of guys from James Madison, and so it's like, oh, it's just a bunch of really good college players, but they have two NFL receivers. Elijah Surratt is going to be a day one or day two guy. Mendoza may end up being, well, he will be a first round pick. I mean, right now the odds to go number one overall, it's Dante Moore and it's Fernando Mendoza, the two quarterbacks you're going to see here.
But again, I just want to reiterate, I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, no one is, I really don't want to downplay Indiana.
Yeah.
But they lost by double digits to both the teams that have comparable talent
yes.
to Oregon. That's my only point here.
Yeah.
It's a big-time duel, though, that we really didn't see coming. Like you mentioned, Mendoza versus Moore. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you're basically the two Heisman favorites, battle it out, and they can take another step towards becoming a New York Jet. one of the two. Oh, so lucky.
That is true. Or you could be, you know, if the Titans end up with the number one overall pick, they can trade that and someone could go up and maybe end up on a better team. Maybe end up in a place as crappy as like New Orleans.
But the game features two of the top five scoring defenses in the country.
Yes.
Both are only giving up 12 points a game. They're also two of the top 15 yards per play offenses mm-hmm. in the country. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. You couldn't ask for a better matchup because you know that Indiana is well coached, like you said. I mean, yeah. Dan Lanning, the first thing he pointed out about them is their special teams.
Yes.
So they are.
By the way, they had a couple big special teams plays, including yeah. a touchdown against Illinois.
They're going to be very tough, and that's what I mean. It's going to be a great, well played game between two really good teams. Mm-hmm. I just believe that in the end, in games like this, I just think over four quarters, talent wins out, and that's why Ohio State won the championship last year. That's why Ohio State beat this team by 23. And I'm not saying Oregon is Ohio State, but they are more comparable to Ohio State. Probably the most comparable team to Ohio State that Indiana has played under Cignetti.
Will be.
And again,
yeah.
They lost by 23 points.
And I went back and, like I said, I was fast forwarding through. I went and looked at the Iowa game. And Indiana moved the ball pretty well, but in short yardage situations, and there was a couple times on fourth and one where Indiana got stuffed. And again, it came down to penetration. Their guards against Iowa were, it was bad. Well, it was really bad play. So when you look at like Bear Alexander, you look at Amari Washington, if Indiana wants to win this game, they have to play better in their interior three. And Amari Washington and Alexander have a chance to just be game wreckers because that's what Iowa did. I mean, Indiana basically runs. They run the triple option. They just run the triple option with RPOs. But that's essentially what this is. In fact, not only do they do RPOs, but they do, I guess it'd be PROs. They do passes with run options. So, like, because they're running that triple option, they will actually have pass protection schemes. And Mendoza will actually kind of do some of these half rolls. They're way more run heavy with the quarterback than they were last year. It's a much much more athletic quarterback than what Rourke was last year. And so they'll do that. Well, they'll roll him out, and he'll have like these one to two simple reads. But if you want to sit back in soft zone, Mendoza will run it, or he flips it out to his back. And so that they really do stress you. Their offense is so dialed in, and it creates problems. Because of all the different looks, how do you stop a team like that? Again, you just blow up the interior of the line. And again, that's what Ohio State did. It's what Notre Dame did. It's what Iowa did. Can Oregon do that? So that's the first matchup. The other one, styles make fights. Mendoza and just in general, even last year with Indiana, they did not do well against the blitz. When teams blitzed and got home, it was problematic, especially this year with Mendoza. Him in a clean pocket, not pressured, he is picking people apart. When you've blitzed him, his numbers go way down. And what's funny is, you know who blitzes least, less than just about any big team in the country? Oregon. Oregon has not blitzed. So this is like where it's kind of the fun cat and mouse game. Oregon has been pretty happy to play either this two or even sometimes they play this three safety look, and then Thieneman kind of roams down. They play him the way Ohio State plays Caleb Downs. He's kind of just a catch-all. We're just going to put you in the middle of the field, and we're just going to let you make plays. And Oregon has been pretty content to do that, but Indiana has picked people apart. But if they can get pressure up front, just rushing forward, especially internal pressure, and not have to blitz and play coverage behind that, or do you say, hey, if Indiana is picking us apart early and they can handle it, does Lanning now kind of get out of his tendencies and they actually start bringing some heat? I love these stylistic matchups because Indiana really is a fun team to watch on film. The schemes that they run, they are as well coached a team as Oregon will see all year. But to your point, I just, the horses, overall the depth, Oregon is much, much better than they are across the board.
You know what they are? They're the effing bull.
They are the bull.
Sucanic.
Well, and I think what Lanning is, what, 22-1 at home? And this is one thing, and I know it's only been a year and some change. This is the game that Cignetti has to prove that he can win. He's got to play one of these games against a true elite top 10 talent team and not get pushed around at the point of attack. So shocking. I mean, this is the simplest breakdown you can have. Can Indiana hold up in the trenches on both sides of the ball?
First Big Ten game featuring teams that are 5-0 or better and a plus 30 points per game differential or higher since 1904.
Yikes.
And you remember that game between Chicago and Northwestern back then.
Are you kidding me? I watch it every year. It's like on an old, those old like 8mm cameras or maybe a nice oil painting.
When you got into the Big Ten, you weren't really expecting it to be Indiana.
No.
But you were expecting this type of game.
Yes.
And the Ducks really haven't had a lot of these since going into the Big Ten. As a matter of fact, have they lost in the Big Ten?
Yeah, they lost to Washington.
Or just, wait, what?
Are you talking
not
about
in the Big Ten.
Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost to Washington.
When?
Last year. Or, well, I guess
no,
that,
that
they
was,
weren't.
That wasn't, that was Pac-12.
Yeah, was that, yeah, that was, because last year was the first year in the Big Ten.
They haven't lost in the Big Ten.
No. No, they have not.
Except for Ohio State, but that was in the college
that
football
playoff.
So they, I don't know, the move to the Big Ten was exciting, but then you got to the Big Ten and you're kind of dominating the Big Ten. I mean, I know Ohio State won the title, but they haven't lost. So, point being, there have been a lot of dud games in the Big Ten, kind of boring.
You kind of feel like this might be one of them?
No, I don't. Oh. I think this is the type of game that you were expecting. Like, I was expecting the Big Ten to be much tougher week in and week out, and it has not been.
Yeah.
I mean, Illinois came into Oregon last year, and they were ranked, and that was a snooze fest.
Wisconsin gave you a game on the road last year. Remember that one?
Yeah,
that
was, there are a few. I mean, Penn State, you almost lost. But I'm just saying, week to week, it felt like it was a much deeper league. Mm-hmm. It really hasn't been, but here you go. I mean, the last game you played Penn State was a barn burner, and now you get this team coming back. I mean, this is more what I expected. This is going to be a battle, but I don't know. I feel good about Oregon in this game.
And it'll be a nice test for Dante Moore.
I don't know if I'd bet on him. The spread's like 7.5.
Yeah, it was bet down. I mean, it originally came out like 10 or 11. And it's come flying down to where, I think it's about 7, 7.5. It will be a nice test, too, for Dante Moore. Indiana is like number 3 in the country in havoc. And havoc is just basically, it's a stat that how disruptive your defense is. And they run a very NFL-heavy scheme. A lot of simulated pressures. Indiana, they kind of pull a Spags. Indiana doesn't blitz that often, but they show you blitz all the time. They'll have 7 guys at the line of scrimmage, and they bail 4 of them, but they overload one side. And so you do have to be buttoned up in your communication and also really elaborate safety rotations. Which again is an NFL concept. They love playing zone coverage in the back, that too high look, but they rotate, and so they can give you a lot of looks off of the same kind of base. And so it will be a nice test for Dante Moore to have to kind of figure that out, because whatever you see at the snap of the ball, it's almost a guarantee that that is not what Indiana is going to actually run. So I think this is going to be a really fun test, and I don't think it will be as bland and boring as what the hell Penn State was doing. So I really like watching Indiana's offense. It's way more enjoyable than watching whatever Penn State was doing.
Well, will Antifa be the celebrity guest picker.
Dude, I'm sorry.
In Eugene.
Dressing someone up. That's just.
Or will it be the chicken man from down at the ICE facility protests?
Antifa duck fan. Yes, please.
I just love the idea of a chicken with an Antifa shirt on.
Just, well, you got to wear the headgear.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't show their faces.
That's,
you know,
true.
Yeah. It could be you for all we know.
Mm-hmm. Am I Antifa this whole time?
Do you think the fan has an Antifa member on its staff?
Oh, hell no.
I got an idea if there was one.
Well, it's not Danny.
It's not Danny. God, no.
Who's the most likely Antifa? Oh, I know.
Yeah.
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 It's Patrick.
Yeah.
Wow.
If we had one.
We have Danny. The Danny Patrick pairing is looking better by the day.
Yeah. If
you got Antifa against the.
If they're.
I don't even know what to call Danny. He's like.
I don't know.
Military bro. I don't know.
He's the greatest American hero this country's ever produced.
There you go.
A physical specimen, the likes of which we've never seen.
And they do a show together.
They do. If someone at the fan was going to have some sort of arrest, an Antifa-related arrest,
it would
be Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
The side of maybe Jeff Russ, but he's such a lovable, sweet guy.
That is true. Jeff's quite liberal.
Jeff would just get caught up. Like, he would be peaceful protesting, and he would get caught up in it.
Yeah, he'd hold up a sign. He wouldn't go Antifa.
Patrick, I might throw a cocktail or two. Maybe.
All right, let's talk about who will be the guest picker. And remember the last time Oregon played Indiana. We'll do that next. Here is Schulze.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So Indiana will be here on Saturday, game here on The Fan, of course. Dan Lanning will be on our show tomorrow at 4. Indiana hasn't beaten a top 10 team on the road since 1987.
Who was that?
That I don't know. I was actually going to go look that up, and I forgot. I'll get that for you in a second. But the Hoosiers also 0-46 all-time on the road against the AP top 5.
Well, look. Make no mistake about it. What Cignetti has done there in Indiana in a year and some changes, nothing short of miraculous. But he does not have a signature win. And this is why I was...
Well, the Illinois game, probably.
I know.
Right?
And that's going to say it's the number 9 team in the country. And I don't care what you think of Illinois. Dude, they beat him 63-10. That's fine. But... this is the rub I had with Indiana last year, and it's what the rub I have with Indiana now is. I just it bothers me. Old Dominion, Kennesaw State, Indiana State, and they've played two real teams. They looked like world beaters against Illinois and against Iowa. It didn't look great. They ground out a win against Iowa, and they will beat the Michigan States, UCLA's, Maryland's, Wisconsin's, Purdue. Cignetti right now kind of has a Chip Kelly feel to me. And that they're so buttoned up and their scheme is so good that if you aren't uber talented and you don't have your crap together, they will embarrass you. They have that ability. But when you play teams that aren't, that you can't scheme around, that has been the kryptonite. And it's kind of an unfair thing because he's only had 3 of those games, right? Like there's only been a couple of those.
Well, that was Chip though.
That was Chip.
Beat everybody except what? LSU.
Yeah, like he was about a 500 coach when he played teams that were kind of on par with him.
Cignetti's 1-2. And by the way, somebody texted that very thing, and I thought it was a good point. They said, Indiana is Oregon from maybe 15 years ago. Great coach, great offense, don't have the dogs. Oregon is now the SEC from 15 years ago. We have the dogs. That's why Oregon wins.
Yeah, and I think that is kind of a fair thing. But if you play a sloppy game, and like this is, I could see a world, you know, Lanning is hyper aggressive, right? And goes for it on all these fourth downs. And Indiana is a very good defensive team. They are. And, you know, you kick yourself in the D a couple times on some fourth down stops where it doesn't work, and you give Indiana some short fields. Indiana can play. Indiana can get up on you in a hurry, and all of a sudden you find yourself into a dogfight. Like I said, it's one of the best havoc defenses in the country. You know, that's the sort of thing where if you aren't buttoned up, Indiana is more than capable of beating anyone on any given Saturday. But at home, superior talent. These are games that Lanning has not had things go awry.
Well, and Oregon's quite buttoned up. I mean, if you look at how they operate, they're one of the fewest penalized teams in the country this year.
Yeah.
And I think they've turned it over. I think they've thrown one interception. Northwestern. They
had
one.
Well, he had one. Moore had one in overtime, but I guess that didn't count because that doesn't count against your stats. That actually, you know,
that was a 2-point.
That was a 2-point play. That actually doesn't count. But yeah, I mean, that. But yes, they've been very, very good.
My point is, there have been other coaches at Oregon where I'd be a little worried against a team like this, but not Lanning and Stein and these guys.
So you just have to be buttoned up. But I am Indiana will test you. But I think that's, and that was kind of what I said with the Chip Kelly thing. That was right. This Indiana is Oregon from 15 years ago, and Oregon feels different, especially when you go deep into the fourth quarter. Oregon and the depth pieces and the special teams and all that, that's where, I mean, last year against like Boise State, right? Boise State played better than Oregon, but they won because of special teams, because special teams is depth, and Oregon's athletes on special teams are better and will be better than Indiana's. And some of the high-end talent with Indiana, Indiana's best receiver, Oregon's best receiver. Oregon's quarterback, Indiana's quarterback. Oregon's D end, these are all fairly even. I mean, Indiana is a DB that is better than either one of the Oregon corners. But there's a difference between having four or five NFL dudes, because Oregon has those same guys. But then when you get into, like I said, when you get down into the right guard and left guard, when I get down into the second defensive tackle, when I get into the off-ball linebacker, when I get into your safety play, that's where that stuff, or the second or third best receiver versus your nickel corner, your slot corner, that's where in these games it tends to, you tend to get exposed.
You want to know the last ranked team Indiana beat on the road? Top 10 team, I guess. Because we said they hadn't won a game against an AP top 10 on the road since 1987. It was actually Ohio State.
Really?
They beat Ohio State under the tutelage of the great Bill Mallory in 1987, 31-10 in the horseshoe.
Interesting.
Is that what they call it, the horseshoe?
That is the shoe. Well, last year it was 38-15 against Ohio State, so.
Yeah, but
1987. It's funny, when I played, we had a guy that I played with. He was another offensive lineman, and he was a JUCO kid. And he said I still remember this. Like, this was, because this was back when facilities weren't what they are now. You know, there was a lot of places that just didn't have nice facilities. The arms race hadn't officially started yet. And he took a recruiting trip to Indiana, and we were like, why? And he goes, I don't know. They offered me one. I thought, what the hell? And he said Indiana had the nicest facilities he had ever seen in his entire life.
Wow.
I was like, Indiana? He goes, dude, it's spectacular.
What an opportunity.
So this is back in the 90s, and I'm sure Indiana since is renovated stuff. But yeah, I remember that for a weird reason. John Skiba said that Indiana had the best facilities of any places that he visited. And a lot of the places were West Coast. You know, he visited a lot of the Pac-12 places. And you'd be shocked if you go back into the late 90s how bad some of the Pac-12's facilities were. I mean, it was outside of Oregon. There was some absolute piles of crap. And since then, everyone has upgraded.
Let's also remember that Indiana came in to Autzen and beat Oregon in 2004.
Yeah, that was like the 5 or 6 turnover game.
Yeah, it was 9/11.
Yeah.
2004.
Yep.
And it was the great Matt Lovecchio against Kellen Clemens.
And I'm not saying Indiana needs 5 turnovers, but if Oregon plays a sloppy game and gets 1 or 2 turnovers and is kind of overlooking them, and Lanning will not let them overlook. When you watch film on Indiana, they will have your attention. Because you have to, because of the complexity of both of their schemes. And that's the other thing that I really applaud Cignetti for. That is a really short time to implement two really complex systems and have everyone pick up on it. And this year, there's a lot of new pieces, and it didn't get worse. I thought there would be a drop-off. It didn't get worse. So far, it's actually, it looks better.
Do you know who coached that 04 Indiana team that beat Mike Bellotti?
I couldn't tell you one coach in Indiana outside of Lee Corso.
Jerry DiNardo.
Jerry DiNardo was their coach?
Remember him?
Kind of, sort of.
That team went on to win one more game the rest of the season, by the way. That Indiana team.
I remember Antoine Randall L. Nice. He was Indiana.
Good recovery.
I remember Penix was Indiana. You got anyone else? Does Calbert Chaney count?
Yeah, how many Indiana basketball players? Keith Smart.
I know a lot more Indiana basketball players than I do Indiana football players.
Well, start naming them then, because I was thinking, oh, yeah, I know a bunch of
I'm looking up their best football players.
Indiana basketball. Like, seriously, I'm blanking on Indiana basketball players.
Well, there's this guy by the name Isaiah Thomas that was there.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty
good. Forgot about Zeke.
That was pretty good.
Well, I said I was blanking. Any more?
Who else was there at Indiana? Steve Alford was obviously the end all to be all. Their coach, right, that was there, was it Woodson? He was an Indiana player under Bob Knight. Calbert Chaney, who was the kid they choked? Neil Reed.
There you go.
Right? Neil Reed was the guy they choked.
All right.
Who else was there?
Who's the all-time leading scorer in Indiana basketball history, do you think?
It'll be someone. Oh, Quinn Buckner went there. The great Quinn Buckner. Who was the little white kid? I can picture him. God, it's going to drive me crazy. But
Old
What's-His-Nuts. I can picture him. He had the...
Most career points, Calbert Chaney.
Calbert Chaney.
Followed by Steve Alford.
Oladipo went there, right?
Oladipo was there, yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I think I'm running out of
people. Well, you did good. Alan Henderson.
I forget which one, but the Zeller.
One of the Zellers.
One of the Zellers went there.
I think you might be thinking of Damon Bailey.
Damon Bailey! Yeah, a little...
He was like Mr. Basketball Indiana and went there.
And he was quintessential. He looked like a little rat. Sorry, he's just like...
A.J. Guyton.
I don't remember him.
Yogi Ferrell.
I forgot about Alan Henderson.
Yeah. I mean, not as great as you would think for such a storied program.
Really?
I don't know.
Are they storied?
Did you just
ask if Indiana is a storied basketball program?
The athletics department in general. No, it's of course the Hoosiers basketball, but like football kind of...
Oh, I was like, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm not dumb.
You're not?
Today, maybe. Tomorrow, probably, yes.
Okay, the Indiana football does not have a... an illustrious list of people.
Who is the all-time leading passer in Indiana football history?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I have no... Michael Penix was only... He played like four games every year and he got hurt. I have no idea. I couldn't even venture a guess.
Okay. His name? Nate Sudfeld.
Oh!
Remember him?
I do remember Nate Sudfeld.
7,879 yards. Antoine Randall L. second.
Oh, there you go. I thought he was kind of more of a gadget player at Indiana. Was he a full-time quarterback there?
You're talking about Randall L?
Yeah.
7,469 yards, man.
I'll be damned.
That's a lot of yards.
That is a lot of yards. Again, after that, are we done?
Indiana all-time leading rusher.
Antoine Randall L.
Good guess.
I'm just going to go off that the entire time. Bloop, bloop. Dude, I just looked up. I'm not saying that I'm like a, I'm not a historian. I watch a lot of college football. I follow football.
Anthony Thompson, 5,299 yards.
I just looked up their top 10 players of all time. By the way, number one, Anthony Thompson.
Are you talking about football?
Yeah, football.
Yeah. You don't know any of them?
I know like two of them.
Who are the two that we know? Randall L.
Randall L. and Nate Sudfeld.
Okay.
John Isenberger?
What about Mendoza? Is he already on that list?
James, you know who James Hardy is? Should I know?
The great James Hardy.
That sounds familiar to me.
What an animal he was. Kicker.
James Hardy? Receiver? He played in the NFL. I remember, kind of remember James Hardy. Yeah, dude, it's a lot of like, who
the hell? But seriously, in that 04 game, if I told you 21 years later, Indiana and Oregon would be league foes and both be in the top 10.
Oh, the whole thing's
just, you'd be like, what? Yeah,
that's the dumbest thing.
Well, here we are. Yeah. Who will be the celebrity guest picker next on The Fan? Well, the big question we've saved for last, talking about Oregon, Indiana, and that is who will be the celebrity guest picker on College Game Day?
Yeah, I just don't know how many more you have. You've kind of, you've run
through. I can think of a few. So Phil's done it. Sabrina Ionescu did it.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Burrell, Ashton Eaton, Kaylin Olson. Those are some big names recently.
Neil Everett, has he been on there?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know.
Former Duck, yeah. ESPN, not part of ESPN anymore, but he could be.
See, I'm wondering if they would even put him on there only because he was an ESPN employee.
That's a good point.
And now he's not.
We're running. I mean, I think Suk's right. We're running out of names.
Well, what about, where's Ahmad Rashad? He's never done it.
Has he ever done it?
I don't think so.
I'm looking to.
Where's Fauci?
I'm trying to see if I've found a, if there's a list. Because this is like, I mean, they have come here a bunch.
Well, hasn't Fauci just, been calling games on Sundays, so he's probably not available on Saturdays.
Get Fauci out there with a Miller Lite. I love Dan Fauci.
Yeah, Dan Fauci would be a great one. This is the Ducks' 34th appearance on game day. They are 20-13 overall, and they are 9-3 at home.
So they've had 12 of these at home. So they've had 12 guest pickers.
Correct, yeah. And I looked for a list. I couldn't find a full list, so I don't know. But I know Joey's not done it.
So I found this according to Ducks Wire. This is who they're suggesting. They're saying Kenyon Bardner could do it, three-time Super Bowl champion, and he's doing some. He's been doing some media work lately. They already did Ty Burrell. He's already been there. Why is Keenan Howery on here?
He picked? Really?
No, they're saying like
this is who could do it this weekend's picker.
I guess he has the Duck Rising podcast, so I guess he's gonna be in town.
Why don't they call Joey? Are we outthinking the room here?
Peyton Pritchard.
Okay.
NBA champion.
Well,
Peyton Pritchard.
He's busy now. There isn't camp opened and everything.
I don't know if you realize this, but the NBA preseason, the Blazers open tonight.
Well, didn't I just say that camp's opened?
It's not camp. It's preseason games.
Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
but
Joey's
he's
on
busy.
List. Yeah. Yeah, Neil Everett's on here. Jeff Schwartz. Oh, there you go. Schwartz is doing a bunch of media stuff now.
Yeah, but he's kind of an ESPN rival, isn't he? I don't know if they'd put him on there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing now. Again, they've got a podcast.
Again, where is Ahmad Rashad? Where is Dan Fouts? And where is Joey Harrington?
Good question.
And I don't mind the Peyton Pritchard one, but I think it would be he would be easier to get if it were a September game.
That's true. Just again, get Joey. Get Joey.
I think it might be Joey. You know, we were texting last week about something. He was being very cryptic about something. And then I asked him again today. I asked him just point blank today. And he said, I said, are you the celebrity guest picker? And he said, no. And then I called him a D. And then he gave me the oh my God, the Goodfellas laughing meme, you know, with,
Ray Liotta.
He gave me that.
Yeah, I could.
It could be Joey.
He wouldn't tell you.
No, he wouldn't.
It's a must-lie situation.
Right.
Yeah, after this many times, Glenn Powell.
Well, he's doing dude, if it's Glenn Powell, I am going to throw a brick through my television.
Oh, is this because they're doing that, the stupid?
See, Chad Powers.
I refuse to watch that because I know it's going to be dumb.
Oh, it's going to be terrible.
Can anyone confirm how bad that is?
Haven't watched it? Probably
I don't
won't.
Know that it's out yet.
It's out.
Is it?
I think a couple episodes at least. Yeah, Hulu's been pumping
If I see his face anywhere on my TV, I'm instantly turning the television, turning the channel.
So he's on the Ducks on that show? Like
on the show, Chad Powers, I think he's an Oregon quarterback.
Oh. Yeah, it says he's billed as a less than stellar representation of the Ducks, begins to ruin his career with Oregon by dropping a ball right before a touchdown
in
a Rose Bowl.
God, I'm going to be so mad if that's it.
It literally sounds like a Shane Falco and the Replacement situation. Like, he screwed up in the old Orange Bowl, and that's what this sounds like
for
Chad.
Isn't Glenn Powell, by the way, like 38?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not
Shane
young.
Shane Falco, so Malcolm. Yeah, he's 37 years old, and I'm supposed to believe that he's...
Yes, you are.
Okay. Couldn't you at least find someone? Like, Timothy Chalamet looks young.
No, not him. Please,
well, no,
not
I'm
him.
Saying...
Well, he already did it. He did it last year. Who was he representing?
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, like, in this show, if you're going to have someone that's a collegiate athlete, couldn't you get someone that actually looks like they're still in college? Glenn Powell looks closer to 40, and he is closer to 40 than he is 20.
Wasn't Chalamet on there?
Yeah, Chalamet was on there. He took it seriously.
But you, for what team? What school?
I don't remember.
You went to Columbia.
I don't remember. But he was on there, yeah. I mean, for God's sakes, Theo Vaughn did it last week.
Dude, Texas and Georgia back on December 7th last year.
Can I just... Texas and Georgia?
That is...
Well, why did... Was he Texas or Georgia?
I don't know. But I remember he took it very seriously. Like, he came in with, like a stat sheet, and he was taking it seriously.
Can I
He was there to promote a film, so they could bring anybody.
Oh, God, it is going to be Chad Powers.
Someone's saying bring back Lee Corso. He loved the duck.
Oh, no. Oregon. Thanks, Lee.
Can I just say that the Theo Vaughn bit, I don't get.
I don't understand.
What is the deal with that guy?
I don't know.
He looks like an idiot. I don't know.
I can't tell you, man. It's part of that weird, like, Austin, Joe Rogan comedy scene. I don't know. I've tried. I do not understand. But, like, Larry the Cable Guy was huge at one point. So, I don't know. I feel like that's a moment that will go away. But I also think it just gives you a snapshot of... There's a lot of people in our country that relate to that guy.
All right, we got to move on. I guess we'll find out on Friday.
Ooh, and I just remembered, Disney owns Hulu. Yes, this ESPN production will be a Chad Powers appearance.
It might be, dude.
I'm so sorry. But
you might be right.
I think you just nailed it.
God. Go look up Mark Maron, by the way. Mark Maron had a recent bit where he said that if Hitler came back alive, he would go on the Theo Vaughn podcast. He does a whole bit about Theo Vaughn interviewing Hitler. It's amazing.
Mark Maron is criminally undervalued as an American.
Just do yourself a favor. Google Mark Maron, Theo Vaughn, Hitler. And it's like a 35-second clip, and you'll be like, oh, my God.
Yes, you will soon be able to buy Ozempic at Costco. Oh,
thank God.
Next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.